Welcome to the church that gathers here at Bethel. Whether you're in the balcony, see you guys up there, whether you are online watching from home, and we still have homebound members even today that will tell me thank you for praying for us, and thank you for allowing us to worship with you online. So if that's you, just know you are welcome here today. And for everyone on the ground floor, welcome. My name is Josh. I get to bring the word today. Let me begin by reminding us why we gather. We gather because of the gospel. Jesus Christ crucified for guilty sinners and risen for our hope. No one here today gathers because you are worthy. You gather, I gather, because Jesus Christ has made us worthy through the precious shed blood of the only begotten Son. This is why we do what we do. And if you are here and you think, well, I don't know Jesus, how could anyone like me ever come to faith? That's why you're here today. So the invitation doesn't start at the end of the service. It continues, come to Jesus Christ. Find him welcoming of sinners. Find him ready to forgive your sin if by faith you surrender and repent of your sin today. I get the joy of continuing in the book of Micah. So we have been preaching through, the book of Micah. Last week, Pastor Johnny came and paused that series and did an excellent job. Pastor Johnny's a dear friend, and just thank you for welcoming him well. It says a lot that you love him as you would love anyone in this church, and he felt that. So on his behalf, and Ms. Nikita, they say thank you for the warm embrace you have given them. But we will be in the book of Micah again today. So Micah is a minor prophet, not minor in importance, minor in the number of words. Micah is not your normal preacher. He says things in really short sentences. And you should be thankful for that, because most pastors can't do what he does. So that's why he's one of the 12 minor prophets, short in number of words. And so if you would find your way into the book of Micah, turn with me there in your scriptures, or click there in your phones. And as you find the book of Micah chapter 2, I'm going to give you a history lesson. Some of you know what I'm holding in my left hand. Some of you have no clue. You think this is one of those instruments that you go out in the yard and you try to find water. But this is called a tuning fork. And tuning fork is an instrument. It's a tool that when you hit this, some of you recognize that. You say, that's 512 hertz in the key of C. And you'd be correct. Actually, most tuning forks are at 540-ish hertz in the tune of A, high A, that's right above C. You say, well, why does that matter? Because to make a tuning fork work properly, you hit this. And if you're tuning your instrument, then you find A on the piano or A on your guitar string, and you tune your instrument to this proper pitch. It would be foolish for any of us to say, well, no. We need to retune the tuning fork because this pitch is wrong. You say, well, that's absurd. No one would do that. Well, this is exactly what we see in the book of Micah. Micah is preaching to a people who expect God to tune his pitch to their lives. Micah is going to a people that say, no, God, you change your standard according to our likeness. We don't tune our lives to your word. And Micah and our worlds collide. Because I look around our world and we are people who desire God to tune His word to our preference. We are people that say, God, I'm going to play in A flat, and I expect you to change. You might not say those words, but that's how we live. And Micah brings us back to center. This is the dilemma that we have in our day. We live in a world that wants God to adjust pitch. We live in a world that calls sin harmony and it calls rebellion progress. And all the time we say, God, why have you moved? And God says, well, I'm not. I'm still in 512 hertz. God says, my word is still the standard. My word is still in the key of C. Josh, why have you moved? Why are you off key? Why are you out of tune? My prayer as we read the book of Micah today is that we would tune our hearts back to the grace of God. You see, this is why Jesus came to this earth. In Christ, grace resets the standard and brings us back in tune to the Father. Jesus did not come into this world to change tune, but to recalibrate us into the image of God once again. This is the message of Micah 2. Verse 6, particularly, the people say, quit your preaching. They preach. They should not preach these things. Shame will never overtake us. House of Jacob, should it be asked, is the Spirit of the Lord impatient? Are these the things he does? Don't my words bring good to the one who walks uprightly? Let me give you a different metaphor. Don't the words of God bring hope to the one who walks according to his pitch, to the right tune? Chapter 3, verse 1. Then Micah says, I said, now listen, leaders of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel, aren't you supposed to know what is just? You hear, you hate good and you love evil. You tear off people's skin. You strip their flesh from their bones. You eat the flesh of my people. You strip off their skin from them and break their bones. You chop them up, flesh for the cooking pot, like meat into a cauldron. Then they will cry out to the Lord. But the Lord will not listen. He will hide his face from them at that time because of the crimes they have committed. Hear the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us a standard that is your holy word. A word that is never out of tune, that is never flat, it's never sharp. It is living and it is active. Lord, thank you for the standard by which we can tune our lives. Jesus, we thank you that as the only begotten, you were crucified for guilty sinners. And yet you are risen for our hope. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have been the down payment and the guarantee of our salvation. You have sealed us for redemption. And Spirit, you will carry us into completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Father, thank you that we can gather. Thank you that we can open your word and now do spiritual work in this place. Thank you that when we gather, you are here also. So we do not take your presence lightly, but we desire to walk in tune with grace today. I pray in Christ's name, amen and amen. Well, in Micah's day, some of them say what you've said to me maybe on occasion, quit your preaching. Verse 6, chapter 2. Now, this wasn't simply about Micah. The language here, actually, your preaching is plural. which most likely means that they have incorporated Hosea and Isaiah contemporaries to Micah in this. This is not simply a Micah problem. They're not saying, Micah, you're boring, you're outdated, we don't want to listen to you. That's not what they're saying. The people are saying, we don't want Micah, we don't want Hosea, we don't want Isaiah. The people of God have said to God himself, God, we don't want you. And we sure don't want your word. They weren't offended by the messenger. These people were offended by the substance of the standard of the word of God. They were saying, we cannot stand. We can't stand that, so that sounds. They've rejected it. Not because it was out of tune. The people rejected the word of God because they were out of step with the Bible. What a dangerous place to be. To be out of tune with God's grace. And I just simply would confess to you, you can tell a lot about your life when you resist his word. You can tell a lot about your life, whether you are in tune or out of tune with Christ, but how you walk according to his holy word. And so I ask you, are you in or out of tune with God's holiness today? When's the last time you treasured the word of God? I'll never forget Martin Luther saying, now Martin Luther lived in the 1600s. I didn't hear him say this. I'm not that old. I heard about him saying this, but it's always stuck with me. Martin Luther, who struggled with the grace of God, he knew that sinners could not be in the presence of a holy God. And reading Romans changed his life forever. Martin Luther said about the word of God, he said, the Bible is alive. He said, it speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me. See, God's word doesn't sit still. It pursues you with grace and truth. So I ask you not to make the same mistake of Micah's people. Have you rejected God's word in your life? We reject God's word when we say that the Bible is good, but it doesn't have ultimate authority in my life. We reject God's word when we say the Bible is good and right, but I'm just going to distance myself. It's okay if I sing a little out of tune. And that is not God's desire. To be in tune with grace means that you are in tune with his word. To be in tune with his word means you are in tune with Christ. Have you rejected God's word? But the people of Micah's day played a different tune. And so Micah begins to play their tune back to them. Because sometimes the things that we think don't sound crazy until we hear them. You know, it's like some of you have heard your child, or you're a young adult now, or an older adult, say things, and you're about to jump their case. When did you say that? Where did you hear that? And they look at you and say, well, you said it. And then we realize, oh man, how out of tune am I? Have anyone else had that experience? Have anyone had the experience of someone looking at you and say, that's your child, not mine. I'm not claiming him or her. That's your. And how much do we need to hear when we are walking outside of the counsel of the word of God? So Micah does exactly this. Quit your preaching, they proclaim. We don't want to hear the word of God. We don't want to hear Hosea, Isaiah. And then so Micah then says something that they have said to him in verse 7. House of Jacob, should it be asked, is the spirit of the Lord impatient? So now, not only have the people of God rejected the word of God, but they're doing a different sort. They're now distorting the word of God. And to distort the word of God is to reject the word of God in your life. You see, what the people knew, God's people knew very emphatically that God had delivered them from Egypt. because that was a story given every year. God's people reminded their sons and their daughters, don't forget the day God rescued us. Don't forget the lamb's blood that rescued the people. The angel of death passed over, but anyone who had the blood of the lamb on their door, the angel of death passed over. Don't forget that God is patient and he is kind. He is a compassionate and gracious God, Exodus 34:6 says. He is slow to anger and abounding in faithful love. But somewhere along the line, the people of God who knew the word of God had begun to distort that word. So knowing that God was compassionate and patient, now they have said, well, God will never judge us. Micah says, is God impatient? You see, they clung to Yahweh's mercy while ignoring his holy justice. Wearing the armor of orthodoxy, they used sound doctrine as a shield for sin. They said, we know a lot about God, so therefore he will excuse what we do. And let me just say, church, if you know a lot about God, but you're not living like you know a lot about God, let me just lovingly tell you, you don't know a lot about God. Because if orthodoxy does not lead to orthopraxy, if right thinking does not lead to right living, then you don't have right thinking. Because God's word always changes the vessel. That's just what God does. He cleans dirty things up. We have this treasure in jars of clay so that the all-surpassing glory would not be from us, but in us. And this is the danger of rejecting the counsel of the Lord. Charles Spurgeon warned once. This is a warning for pastors. He says, a time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats. I love that, which means I'm a clown and you're potentially a goat. I don't know which is worse. But how true is that? When we distort the word of God, when you say, Pastor, you get up there and entertain us. And when I say, that's right, I'll entertain you. You laugh, let's have a good time on Sunday. But then when you leave, do what you want to do. That is moral rot. That leads to our destruction. And if you look at me and say, Pastor, would you be the clown? Just entertain us, make us laugh. How dare you say that to the Lord? And if I look at you and say, you know what? God's gracious, he's forgiving, just live however you want. How dare? How dare we reject the counsel of God in our lives? May we center our lives upon the Lord. Jesus says this to his time also. Matthew 15, he says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Let me just ask you, when's the last time that you truly loved the word of God? For you said, man, the word has feet, it's running after me. It has lips, it's speaking to me. This is what we need. I would ask you, what half-truths are you telling yourself to excuse your sin? Are you using God's compassion as an excuse to sin and as an excuse never to repent? Are you excusing God's love for you so you can ignore his holiness? And the inverse can be true. Are you emphasizing so much God's holiness that you forget that he is love? What half-truth do we tell? How do we distort the word of God? And my prayer for us this morning is that when the word of God speaks, that we will not turn down the volume, but we will say, God, turn up the volume of your word in our lives. May it never be said of us, quit your preaching. May it be said of us, word of God, speak. Word of God, speak. When we are out of tune with the Lord, we reject his word. But verse 1 of chapter 3, there's a different shameful result. You say, well, how bad can this really be? Just not going to read the word for a day or two. 3 verse 1, Micah says, now listen, leaders of Jacob, you rulers, the house of Israel, aren't you supposed to know what is just? So just understand that holy rejection always leads to shameful results. You cannot reject the word today and expect spiritual fruit tomorrow. And Micah uses a loaded term in the Old Testament. This word to know is the word yada. It's the same word used of Adam and Eve when it said now they know good and evil. That word means to know and understand the right standard. Micah says, if anyone should know the pitch of the Lord, if anyone should know his standard, if anyone should know the music of grace, Israel, it's you. Shouldn't you know what is just? Rejecting God's word leads to shameful moral confusion. Leads to moral confusion. This exact word to know echoes from Genesis, and humanity's first rebellion began with a distortion of knowing. A distortion of moral confusion. Genesis 3:22. After the fall, the Lord God said, since the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Or they thought they knew. And from that moment on, humanity has been confused morally. Claiming wisdom apart from God's word. Isn't that what the adversary tempted Eve and then Adam? Did God really say, you'll die? That's pretty harsh. No, he just doesn't want you to be like him. Knowing yada, good and evil. And any time anyone tries to separate the morality of God from his word, it leads to moral confusion. And we live in that world. How shameful it is to know the love of God, yet tune him out. And this is exactly God's indictment upon his people. He says, you know the word. You have the word, and yet you do not listen. Not only is there moral confusion, but there's also shameful reversal of morality. Look at what he says. Not only should you have known, church, you have the word of God. You don't have an excuse. He said, now you, look at verse 2, you hate good and you love evil. And even the pagan among us, even the person who would say, well, I don't believe in God and I don't believe that Jesus is God's son. I don't believe Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Even that person would say, well, I don't want to love evil. I don't want to hate good. And yet, when we reject God's word, it leads to moral reversal. And we see that in our world even today. We redefine morality by our personal preference. We say things and we do things. We celebrate my truth over God's truth. And I would say anytime you use the word my truth, I immediately know that's not God's truth. Because if it was God's truth, just say, hey, this is God's truth. Because that sounds a lot better than my truth. But church, when God's truth becomes your truth, what a beautiful place that is to stand. We say things like this. We call lust freedom. We call purity repression. We label conviction as hate. We glorify greed and violence and immorality, and we call it entertainment. We worship at the altar of politics and self-exalting human pride over divine authority. And this is not a surprise, because these are all shameful fruits of rejecting God's word. So let me ask, are you in tune with God's grace and his word today? Micah says you hate good and you love evil. But there's one more shameful result. Rejecting God's word shamefully devalues human life. Look at verse 2. You hate good, you love evil, when you should love good and hate evil. You tear off people's skin. You strip their flesh from their bones. You eat the flesh of my people after you strip their skin from them. You break their bones. You chop them up like flesh for a cooking pot, like meat for a cauldron. What is this? Well, these are things you do to animals. You cook them and you eat them. At least I do. You skin them. You dehydrate them and make jerky. You sacrifice them, aroma pleasing to the Lord. These are things that you do to animals. And Micah is looking at his people and he is saying, you treat people like animals. Because you have got away from the word of God, you have devalued human life. You tear their skin, you eat their flesh. And this language is shocking. Church, our modern world is no different. From abortion, we don't call them animals, we just say they're cells. Assisted suicide, sex slavery, pornography, exploitation to indifference. We treat life made in God's image as disposable, as a commodity. If you wanted to hit home, just go back and read these verses, because we are doing the same. Treat people made in the image of God as animals, and what we call convenience and compassion is ungodliness. Because we have rejected the standard of God's word. And Micah says it has no place among our people. Sin shamefully deforms what God designs. And let me just kind of speak to our young adults, right? How does this work out practically? If anyone looks at you and says, if you love me, you will do this. You will send me these pictures. You will say these things. What they are saying to you is you are nothing more than an animal. You're a transaction. I will love you if you do these things for me. That's what we do to animals. They don't really love you. Because the love of Christ looks at someone's soul, not their face. And may we do better. This is why the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus entered our violence, our confusion, our shame, not to condemn us, but to redeem us. Because we read and say, how can we ever get back? Well, we get back because God sent his one and only Son, born of flesh, to tune us back in grace. And you know how we get back? We don't ask Jesus to change the tune. We ask him to retune our lives. And then Micah says this in verse 4. Because you have done these things, then they will cry out to the Lord, and he will not answer. He will hide his face from them at that time because of the crimes they have committed. This is a holy reversal of the beautiful verse in Isaiah where it says, then you will call and the Lord will answer. See, holy rejection is a product of not repenting of your sin. If you say, well, God is patient, he is kind, he is compassionate, I will not repent because he understands Micah says to us, there will be a day where you will cry out and he will not answer. Because he gave you a chance. And do not mistake silence for God's absence. When Micah says that God will hide his face from you, he's not saying he is absent. He's not saying God is gone. He means God is present, but he's present in judgment. He says he will not meet you in that day with compassion because he gave you an opportunity. He will now meet you in the fullness of his wrath and judgment. John Calvin once said, the wicked imagine that God sleeps, but he does not delay his judgment without cause. His patience invites repentance. His silence is not forgetfulness. Are you holding out hope today that God is sleeping on your sin? Let me just be kind and then frank. The kindness is God loves Israel. He loves his people. His covenant people through Abraham and Isaac and David. His new covenant with Jeremiah. If that's how God feels about his covenant people, and he did not sleep on their sin, what makes you and I think that he will sleep on our sin? This is the word of the Lord. In Micah, chapter 3, verse 1 says, listen, listen up. And I'm just simple enough to take God at his word. I believe when God says to you, listen, he's given you a chance to hear. Maybe that's why in the book of Revelation, 8 times in the last book of the Bible, it says this, he who has ears, you better start listening. He who has ears, let him hear. I think this is God's way of saying it's not too late. Listen right now. This is God's desire. We hear these things, and if you have rejected God's word, if you have rejected God's love, if you are living in sin today, if you are treating people like animals and not like people born in the dignity of Christ, if you are experiencing shameful results of your sin, shameful fruit, it is not too late for you. God wants you to listen in and listen up. Because there will be a day where God will turn his face from you. He will not be absent, but he will be present in judgment. Judgment that is incurred by your sin. Look at verse 4 again. Then they will cry out. Church, can I just say to you today, praise be to Christ, that the then of judgment is not now. The then of judgment is not now, because it's not too late for us. That's why you're here. It's not too late. If you've walked in here in your sin and you say God could care less, he is sleeping, I pray that Micah wakes you up. Do not leave here thinking that God is slumbering. He is patient with you. But there will be a day, but praise God that that day is not today. Or at least it's not right now. Because God has given you a chance to listen. He who has ears, let him hear. If you have listened to this message and you said, Pastor, what do I do? Just tell me. What do I need to do to be saved? Repent of your sin. To say, God, I've been out of tune for way too long. God, your word is in C and I am B flat. I'm broken. And God, today for the first time, I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired. Repentance is saying to God, God, you've not changed your tune and you've not changed your pitch, but I've walked away. God, forgive me when I thought that morality could be worked out with my knowledge and not your word. God, forgive me when I rejected your love for me because I didn't love myself as you love me. Repentance is simply making an about face and saying, God, I'm tired of playing the wrong tune. And there's nothing I can do to get myself back in tune. I need a perfect piano tuner. And God sent one. His name is Jesus Christ. To die on the cross for your sins, to rise again that we might have hope in him. And today, if you need to follow Christ as Lord and Savior, turn from your sins, turn to him by faith, and just simply say, I believe. I believe. Tired of walking away and walking away from God and walking to destruction. Praise be to Christ that the den of judgment is not now. Would you come to faith today? Do not mistake God's mercy for delay. Micah's message is clear. Repentance postponed is repentance refused. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. So if you do wait, it's not on me. It's not on Micah. And it's not the Holy Spirit's fault. Respond to the conviction of the Spirit. He will never lead you wayward. For the Christians in this room who have confessed Christ as Lord and Savior, this is your message also. Some of you are not in tune today. You look in tune, but you don't sound in tune. And I think you're in tune, and we think you look good, but the Holy Spirit knows different. Would you simply bow your head and bend your knee before the Lord today and say, God, I'm a little flat this week. Been a little sharp. God, I've been off beat. Lord, just confessing my sin again. I know you're faithful to forgive. I know that you will cleanse me. I need that again, Lord. Jesus came not to change God's tune, but to bring our hearts back in tune with him. May we respond to the holy standard of the Word of God that has never changed and will never change. Father,